be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25 and reading through the end of the chapter. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For his cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she prefers her husband.
All right. Good to see everyone. People try to put us down just because we get around. Things they say are awful cold. I hope I die before I get old. Talking about my degeneration. Roger Daltrey crooned that about 1970 in a group called The Who. Of course, I date myself when I say that because that's my generation. That's why you got the handout there. That's why you think that was a spelling place there where I put about 3 or 4 G's. But I'm just copying what Roger said about that song. Tell them, do I feel the need to explain a lesson? Or tell them, I feel the need to explain why I'm preaching a lesson, but I want to make the exception this evening in talking about this lesson. And I want to talk about this evening, I want to talk about millennials. And I want to talk about millennials and religion. I want to do that for various number of reasons this evening. Sociologists, as they are, have compartmentalized, if you will, different generations and different groups, and they titled different groups in different ways. And they've done that by the years that you were born. If you were born in a certain decade or a certain period of time, and I'm a baby boomer, and as a lot of you are baby boomers that are in this room, then after the baby boomers came Generation X, and then after Generation X was the millennials. And they were born from 1980, 81, 82, through about 1997, 98. If your birthday falls within those areas, you are a millennial. Every one of my children are millennials. And the generation following the millennials, they've labeled Generation Z. I don't know if that's about the last letter in the alphabet. Maybe they figure they're the last one to go. Others, I think, other sociologists identify different generations in different ways, but all of these all of these labels typically have different characteristics, and because they were born during a certain specified time in the country, things affect each of us in different ways, and I think that's worthy to note. I want to talk to you about why it's important for us to understand the millennial, or maybe even to understand the younger generation than maybe for what you are. And I want us to be aware of it. And I think it's important for us to be aware of it because we need to know that everybody doesn't think the way you think and how you think. And it's hard for us to sometimes understand why plain speaking, plain talking sometimes doesn't go in like it used to. But there's an awareness, I think, that all of us need to be aware of, that I've seen signals and signs that a lot of us aren't aware. Now, much of the lesson this evening is not that you... I don't know what generation he's going to be. But I want to say that... Parker.
Parker.
Be still. His head's down there. He's mad now. You won't be able to drag him off that bench, Parker. I'm sorry. Thanks, Jerry. But tonight, a lot of the lesson is not going to be in scriptures, which is rare. I'm going to have some concluding scriptures, but a lot of things we're going to talk about, and some of you may not even approve of this kind of a lesson, but I think the lesson's important. And all of us need to be aware, really, basically, what's going on in our world. And that's why I felt the need to talk about some things. And parents that are millennials and parents of millennials need to know that it's a difficult time, that that's a difficult age group, and so we need to understand that. But it is a different time, and it is a different age, and it's different for a variety of reasons. And I want to look at that, address some of that. But millennials and post-millennials, you need to be aware that if you fall in that category, I think that you need to be aware of some of the things that are happening in the world. And I think also if you are in that age group, that you're probably more aware of the things that are going on than I am. But I want you to understand, and I want all of us to hear the reason I'm talking about it, is because all of these things affect us spiritually. Now, we meet in a place, and we worship here in a place here in Fannieville, and you never think about it, but we're far away from a major influence. We're not a college town, don't we? We don't have that kind of influence here. We're not around a major campus. But we have to start thinking in different terms sometimes in order that we reach the people that we know and that we love and to help them understand some things. And so we need to think differently about what we're trying to accomplish with the folks we know and love. Now, the terms of the gospel never change. Those terms never change. That's not what I'm talking about. The faith that was once delivered is what Jude says in Jude 3. It's for all time. We're not changing anything about what the Bible says. Principles never change. Everything that they said in Acts 2 for those people to do, we are to do that. We're to preach and teach that too. And we're not to be afraid to say that. That's the gospel, Acts 2. We believe that. But in order to do that, I think in more effective ways, maybe just take a good look at how we approach people when we're talking about the gospel. I think that we need to understand as much as we can about the world in which we live in. So, what is it that sociologists tell us about millennials? You ever thought about it? You ever thought about what that specified age group, what they're telling us about them? Well, one of the things that I found is that millennials are more likely to be unaffiliated religiously. All right? Most millennials are unaffiliated religiously. That doesn't mean that they're not interested in religion. And really, unaffiliated is their word. They like that word. I'm just unaffiliated. I'm detached. Alright? So if you're looking at somebody that's around 20, 21, 22, to 35, 36, 30, in that age group, it's not surprising that they have no religious connection at all. They're not affiliated with religion. And again, most of the ones that I've met, they don't have anything to do with religion. It's just not on their plate. That's not what they think is important. Like maybe you thought would be important in your life, those folks in that age group, not important to them. And 60% of millennials say that Christianity, 60% say that Christianity and churches are anti-gay. Right? They're anti-gay and they're judgmental. Wow. Now, not too many years ago, you wouldn't have heard that from somebody that said, what do you think about church? All of us are judgmental and they're all anti-gay. That's not the response we'd heard not so many years ago, but that's the response that you're going to hear. 75%, almost 8 out of 10 millennials, will jettison church if they're in a church when they leave high school, never to return. Okay? Think about that. Now, as I look at a few of these things, I want you to know that this isn't specifically talking about members of the Lord's church. This isn't talking about you as a millennial in the Lord's body. A lot of times when you read different things and you say Christian and all that, that's what society would call Christianity in general. But while the things that you hear tonight may not speak specifically to you, or you're not in the survey or the percentages that you hear tonight, If we believe that these attitudes that you're going to hear has not affected you, if you believe that this just didn't hurt us a bit, and that our children aren't being affected by the attitudes, your head's in the sand. And you really and truly haven't looked at or thought about what really and truly is going on in the world. And I think sometimes we've got our head in the sand. I believe we live a sheltered life sometimes, a protected life, and God bless us for that. How nice it is to live a protected, sheltered life when we don't consider what's going on to other folks. But, again, it's imperative, I think, for all of us, no matter when we were born, no matter when we were raised, or I think it's imperative that we all understand what we're dealing with sometimes when we're talking to someone of a different age group than we are. I think we need to learn that lesson. Well, what are we talking about? When we talk about millennials, what do we care about more than anything? Well, how about the mindset of digital native? Oh, I like that term. Digital native. That means that they know everything about cyberspace. They know everything about computers. They know everything about this. They're fast and good. Now, as a baby boomer, we've been learning. You know, we've learned. We've adapted slowly. But millennials, hey, every time you get something new, you know, just grab the first kid that's on a skateboard, and he can program it, load it. He can do all those things for you, all right, as a boomer, all right? So they're digital natives. In other words, they've grown up in that era. There's nothing to them. It's not hard for them, all right? It's not a challenge for them like it is us. Millennials are elected, all right? Millennials choose from various sources. There's no loyalty to a brand. If you understand what that means, they don't have a sense of loyalty to one thing. All right? And because of that, I believe that affects them spiritually. When you think about that, all right? Since there's no loyalty to any one thing, or they don't have a sense of loyalty like a lot of us do, that affects them spiritually. It doesn't mean that they don't think about those things spiritually, but the answers that you hear, sometimes it just seems so off the wall to me. And it comes in different packages and different ways. It comes at me in different ideas. And what I'm hearing is, there's not a sense of loyalty like you just think comes natural to you, or has come natural to you. I think that in millennials, there's a breakdown of family. Has been a breakdown in their family. And because of that, what millennials typically they have experienced is that they have seen homes and been raised in homes that have no father figure. And because they have not seen that example of what a father should be and ought to be in a home, they have absolutely no idea what a spiritual heavenly father is, all right? So we think about that, all right? And most of us are fortunate enough to have that organized family unit, but most folks between 21 who didn't have that. So maybe we might be able to understand a little bit why it is they can't understand the concept of a heavenly father when you begin to talk about that. And so there needs to be some example that is seen in a home on a regular basis, we can talk about that, of what a father actually is. That's a good lesson. And in order to have that, to see what the heavenly father is on a grander scale. That's a principle that's taught in the Bible. Really. But what millennials have seen is the breakdown of family. And that's just the perspective that they've lived with and dealt with, and I don't think we recognize that. What else? I've noticed that there is a militant secularism among millennials. A militant secularism. Now, secularism is totally the opposite of anything spiritual. All right? It's the void of anything spiritual. All right? Secularism itself avoids anything spiritual. Spirituality is the opposite of secularism, and in this, truth really is divorced from any supernatural content. You get that? Whatever the truth is, if it came from another being or an image or what you call God, no, I don't want to hear that. That's the millennial thought. All right? Where'd you get that truth at? Well, God. Oh, okay, whatever you're calling God. That's the attitude. That's the spirit that comes back. Now, as a result of that, there are no moral obligations to the millennial. Alright? Now think about that. If there's not somebody telling you that's supernatural, that this is right, this is wrong, this is what you need to do, this is what you shouldn't do, You know what he gets? I do whatever I want to do. You are the one that gets to decide. And millennials have decided that because they're not going to take any orders from a God, a supernatural being that I can't see. All right. So what happens when that happens is the butt stops here. Well, I'll just do what I want to do. Anything goes. And that's going to be accepted. And I think you see that out there in that generation. And that's what happens. Now, that kind of thought and that kind of secularism has turned militant. And if you don't believe it's turned militant, turn on your TV. Folks are going to protest ideas and protest thoughts about what they, in concept, they've turned militant. Have they not? You can see that. I mean, anything goes. Because, you know what? Anything goes because how I act, my behavior, what I say, what I do, goes unchecked. It's unimportant. Because the only thing that is important is what I believe and what I want to do and how I want to do it. All right? So that's where that's led. And you think, generally speaking, I guess, there is this militant behavior that's present. And it's because I think what we're seeing is a very different secularism than we've ever seen before. All right? Than we've ever seen before. I know the 60s were wild times and we thought all this is the worst, but I think we're seeing things that are probably worse than that. All right? Now, there's this concept also that I believe ought to strike home for us when we talk about this. It's the lack of spiritual authenticity among adults. I want you to think about that. They never seen that. They never seen anything authentic spiritually in adults. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, they've had limited exposure, I guess, to role models. I guess you could say there was no role model for the millennial as he was growing up. And it, you know, here's a guy, you know, if you don't know what to believe, if you don't know why you believe, if you don't know what you're doing, and you don't care, and that's your figure, that's your role model that you grow up with, and you see that, well, man, when I grow up, this is exactly how I want to be. See the point? And that's what's happened to that generation. They never seen anything that said, listen, this is what I need to do. This is why I need to do it. This is what I need to believe in. Never got. The generation out there that never got that time. All right? And so the people in the younger generation, they're seeing, and really, no spiritual guide. And had no spiritual guidance, like many of us in this room, we took for granted. Alright, so there's a generation out there that didn't see that. And the point here is, you know what? They're just not getting it. And they're not getting it for a variety of reasons. And we need to think about that here. We got parents here that aren't setting the right example. We got parents here, grandparents. Same thing. Children aren't getting it. Grandparents. And that would be a slap in my face. We ought to recognize that. That's just not out there. That can happen in here. We need to be careful of that. What else? Well, the millennials have seen the church's influence pretty well diminished. Unlike when I was growing up in UC, the local neighborhood churches, if you look around, their influence in the community that they're in, you know what? It's about irrelevant now. Because, you know what we're doing here really isn't that important. You know that? That mean my fault? What's going on here? And that's the way that it's looked at. And that's what it's become to the millennials. It's not important. And really, you know, it used to be, you go to church? You go to church? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's church. Where do you go to church? Oh, I know. You guys believe this. Yeah, but we believe that. And there'd be a good discussion about that. Not anymore. You go to church. You teach and preach that. You're kidding me. So what used to be an influence is now a stigma, in fact. And looked down upon by the millennials, you actually go to church. Think about that. In some areas, it's not a badge of honor. You go to church, really preach that thing, do that, believe that. So we're talking about younger people that's raised in a culture that diminishes exactly the influence of what we're doing right here. Alright? I took that for granted. How about you? There's also, I think, a cultural abandonment. There's done away with morality. You know what? And what I say that is, and we talk about it, there's no absolute truth. Alright? Truth is not absolute. Can't find that out there. And that's pretty clear. There's just no norms anymore. Sleep as long as you want, sleep with whoever you want. Because I'm going to do what I want to do because there's no standard to appeal to. I'm just going to be who I'm going to be. I don't have anybody to answer to. And the supernatural thing you're talking about, that's a joke. Alright? There's no objective moral truth anyway. So why bother? Why bother to worry about it? You just let me do what I want to do. Intellectual skepticism. Think about that. Intellectual skepticism. Yeah. Basically says that there's no answer. You know, it's socially acceptable now to really suspend judgment. Think about that. Not judging. Oh, that's a big word for millennials. I'm going to suspend judgment. Let's think about what that means. Let's not reach any conclusion. Because if I've reached a conclusion, that means that I've thought about something, I analyzed something, I researched something, and I came to a conclusion about whether this thing was right or wrong, and I've got my conclusion. If I've got a conclusion that it's right or wrong, you might disagree with me, and I'm not going to be the one to judge you on that. I'm not kidding you, it's that bad. They're going to suspend judgment for that very fact that I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. Well, that'd be judging. And all this is shaping, and it's just not around millennials. It's happening to a lot of us. There's a rise in this fad. And I've dealt with it. Like I said, all three of my kids are millennials. And I've seen this stuff really ugly head in all of them. The fad called atheism. Oh, that's a fad. That's new. Atheism's been around forever. But you know, it's cool now not to believe in God. The millennials, it's cool. It's cool that you don't believe in God. And well, I've got to write it down here. I have to say this, and I've called it before. It's intellectual snobbery by non-intellectual. Now, I want you to think about that, and I believe that's a good way to say it. Intellectual snobbery by non-intellectual. They think they're so smart. Oh, they're smart. And that's not flat in the face. I just don't believe they've really thought it out. But you know what it is with millennials? It's popular. Not to believe in God. It's popular to make light, to be blasphemous of God. It's popular to be blasphemous of spiritual things. And it's on. There's a bravado. Oh, hey, you're with me, no God. Yeah, hey, we're in it. Yeah, cool. That's the millennial. And that's the thought there. And it's cool to be a free thinker. Wide open. Non-judgmental. We're talking about a lot of people. And I don't think we've ever thought of it in these terms. And in this way. Well, you think what you want, I'll think what I want. How new God is. Tolerance. We're going to tolerate. That's part of the issue. I have my truth. You have your truth. You do what you want to do. I'll tolerate your truth. You tolerate my truth. And we're just going to tolerate. We hear it all the time. We hear it all the time, we see it all the time in various social aspects of our society. We see it all the time. And I know I'm going to date myself, but it wasn't like that when my dad grew up. Wasn't anything like that when my dad grew up. Tolerance, you know how long you got tolerated when you did something wrong. And I'll tell you what, when I grew up, I've seen these things happening looking back. I think the door was beginning to be open. I've seen these things when I was 21, 35, 30. I've seen these things starting to gel and to take place in people's minds, and that is tolerance. Tolerance is the millennial God. Finally, I guess this is common in young adults, and I remember, but you know, there's a desire in millennials to be autonomous. Now, in the Lord's church, we teach autonomous. We're independent, are we not? Yes, we are. We're independent, we're locally organized, have organized local shepherds that oversee their flock, we're independent of anything. Autonomy. But for the millennial, autonomy has taken on a brand new meaning. Autonomy means I can't stand anything that is organized. I can't stand anything that is structured. If it's family, if it's religion, if it's anything, there's no autonomy in that, thus the rejection. And somebody told me, it's been 5 months ago, that they can't stand organized religion. My response was, I don't like it either. But you know what? You can't do a thing about it. God's Word said this is how it's fun. Doesn't matter what I want, what I like. It's what God wants and what God wants. All right? But that idea of being rejected, autonomy, independence, nothing structured, nothing organized. I want you to misunderstand this. You're here and you're a millennial. I'm not saying that you fit into all these things. I hope you don't. I hope that these attitudes are not in your life or in your thought process. Or if you agree with the things that I've said. But you know what? I look at that, and I think all of us can tell that and I would be telling you an untruth if I would say that these things haven't affected me. And how I think, and how I approach Jesus. Now, what are we going to do? What do you do about that? Well, where's the training thought? Where's it at? God's Word says it's in the home. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we're to train, what he says, train up for, he says, provoke your children not to wrath, but raise them up, train them, how? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll tell you right now, we're not living in a world where that's an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. And if you're a parent, if you're a millennial parent, chances are you're probably doing that on your own. That you realize these attitudes, you realize the things that are going on out there, because that is your age group. And you see their attitudes, but wait a minute, counter to that is what God's Word says. So that's going to make your job even harder. To raise your children as you should. And I'll just look at that passage. You start, what do you start? You start with what's happening in your house. All of us need to start that. What's being watched in your house? What you got on TV? What's being discussed in your house? What conclusions are happening in your house about what's happening out there? What discussions do you have about God, about Christ, about the church, about the brethren that are your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you even have those discussions? Or is anything else focused on the secular and what the world's going on and laughing maybe every once in a while at how a millennial thinks, but never really addressing that? See, what a tough job. It's a tough job to stay on top of your household. Because in your household, what's supposed to be there? Well, this passage says your children need correction. I tell you what, if respect and obedience is not in your house right now, you better get it in your house. You better make sure it's in your house. You better make the changes that are necessary, not to line up with the millennial, but to line up with what God's Word says. Disobedience, disrespect, dishonor, never right. Always wrong. And those are principles that need to be taught. And I'll tell you what, if you're counting on the millennial society teaching to your kids, you're way off. They're gone. Gone with the wind. They've sown the wind. We're reaping the whirlwind with what's happened to this generation. And we see it everywhere. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17 says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. That doesn't mean every now and again, or whenever you feel like getting up off the couch and saying something. It means every single time the child needs correction. And every single time the child is wrong. You correct the wrong with, hey, that's wrong. And then you take care of that. That's what it's talking about. No, don't provoke them to wrath. We understand that. I get that. That statement there in Ephesians 6. But we have got to teach our children to be the kind of people that God wants them to be. We better take an interest in that. The wolves are there. We don't think how far it's gone. Serious business. I'm hammering Jake and Josiah and Daisy all the time. All the time. I see the influence of the people that are their age. I see who they run with, who their friends are. It's everything I've got when I'm in the presence, not the... That's what I'm doing. They're so far gone, they have absolutely no place or foundation on which I can even have a conversation. And I know I'm old, but I'm not that old. Wow. Parents must provide, and I had James read Ephesians 5, because in your house, parents need to provide what James is talking about. Every time I do a wedding, I talk about Ephesians 5, and before the wedding, we talk about the relationship that the Lord has with the church, and the relationship that a husband and wife should have. And 9 times out of 10, the people that I'm marrying, they have maybe an intellectual concept at best of what I just read to them. We talked a little bit about that. But as your marriage grows and develops and you stay married, you recognize what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. They get it. You get what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. And all of us should too, as we look at that. As we recognize our husbands and our wives and the relationship that we have, and all of that, and we truly do find real meaning in our relationship. When we understand the relationship that the Lord has with the church, and when we don't understand that, I think it's hard for us to understand that our homes must have an atmosphere of love and an kindness and mutual respect. And the millennials of the world never seen that. They never seen that happen. Maybe your house hadn't seen it. And what when that's seen in the home, I don't care when you were born. All right? That's just something that your children need to see. And that is where it starts. And that's where it ends. Alright? Now, I'm not going to say if they see it, that's going to manifest itself in ways that you like and approve. I have three children that have all kinds of problems, just like you do. Alright? Is their house just exactly like I want it to be? No. But I can tell you that the effort that was made by Jenny and I to do that, to instill that, was made. I can hold on to that. And I can hold on to the words of the Bible. And every once in a while I see glimpses of, hey, we need to do this, or we need to change that. And when parents see that, I guess that's the reward. We hang on about everything we can when we see something good like that and what you have tried to instill in your children. But they need to see that love, and they need to see that mutual respect, and they need to see that honor. 85% of the millennials never seen that, never realized that, have no idea what that even means. So, how do you think the world's raising their children? How do you think parents that are between 21 and 35, 36, how do you think that family unit looks? If these are the attitudes, and these are the concepts, and these are the principles that have went into them, scary, isn't it? It's a scary thought to think about how that is. You know, I say this to those that are parents, that are millennials, you know, they're not going to be very many people your age do what you're supposed to do. They're just not. And striving to do what the Bible says, they're just not going to be people like they were in my generation and the generation prior to that to raise their children the way they should. It's just not going to happen. But just like those who are millennials, you don't have to be the typical millennial. You can be a Christian millennial. You can be a Christian parent. You can be a Christian grandparent. Doesn't matter what age you are. As I said earlier in the lesson, what Peter and the Apostle said in Acts chapter 2, that still goes true today. It's still true. And we need to preach that. We need to teach that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are. That can never be changed. And again, I don't care what age you are, I don't care who you are, I don't care what generation you are. The things, the principles that are laid out in God's Word is how you need to raise your family. And it's how you need to look at the Scriptures. And it's the place that you need to look on how you need to be as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a wife. That's the place you get those instructions. It's not from what's going on out there. Because like I said, they're so far removed. So far removed. From maybe the base and the foundation that a lot of us maybe just took for granted. We're living in a different age. We're living in a different time when attitudes about religion are a lot different from what we grew up with. A lot different. And I understand that. And I can't solve all of those issues. I don't think any of us can do that individually. But because of who we are and what we know, I think we can learn to deal with a lot of things in a loving way that God would have us do. And what we've learned here at this place. How we need to be to each other, to our family. And to the millennials that we know and love. We love them. We want their soul saved just like everyone else's. You know, finally, you know, we need to be salt of the earth. And we don't need to go to that passage. But you know, when and I guess maybe if I was a millennial, you're probably going to hear that more than, you're going to hear more of, you know, it's just the way I feel. Maybe more than I will. It's just what I feel, it's just what I want to believe, and it's just how I think. You may have to look at somebody and say, I don't care. This is how I think, and this is why I think it. This is why I believe what I believe. And you need to make that stand. Because the millennials aren't making that stand. So you more than maybe some of us that are older, even some of us that are younger, are going to run into that more and more with your life because what's been noted about the generation that's called the millennials. As I said, this is not a typical lesson that you heard from Jeff Jordan, and I hope that it's taken in the way I tried to present it to you. Some of the things that I think we need to learn, some of the things I think we need to meditate on. Folks, everybody's not the same. Don't take for granted because your background's a certain way and things work for you, that's going to work for somebody else. And when we consider the flock, the body, the church that we are, I think we need to consider that. As individuals, I want you to go to heaven. And in order to do that, let's learn a little bit about each other and maybe where some folks are coming from. I think that'll help us a lot. Bibles never change. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the invitation. Please get your phone booked out. We're going to sing that song. I'll tell you what, if you're not a millennial, I'd be glad to baptize you anyway. But if you are a millennial, wouldn't that be great too? I don't care if you're 10 years old or 90 years old. Jesus still said the same thing. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you're lost. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Please sign us together. We'll stand.